ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ऋषिर् उवाच जुष्टं बथाद्याखिल सत्वराशे संसिध्यमक्ष्णोस्तव दर्शनन् यद्दर्शनं जन्मभिरीद्य साध्वीर्आशासते योगिनो रूढयोगा ऋषिर्उवाच जुष्टं बथात्या किल सत्वराशे संसेद्यमक्ष्णोस्तव दर्शनं न यद्दर्शनं जन्मभिरीद्य साध्वीर् आशासते योगिनो रूढयोगा
The great sage Karadama said, O supreme worshipable Lord, my power of sight is now fulfilled, having attained the greatest perfection of the sight of you, who are the reservoir of all existences. Through many successive births of deep meditation, advanced yogis aspire to see your transcendental form. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here as the reservoir of all goodness and all pleasure. Unless one is situated in the mode of goodness, there is no real pleasure. When, therefore, one's body, mind, and activities are situated in the service of the Lord, one is on the highest perfectional stage of goodness. Kardama Muni says, Your Lordship is the reservoir of all that can be understood by the nomenclature of goodness. And by experiencing you face to face, eye to eye, the perfection of sight has now been attained. These statements are the pure devotional situation. For a devotee, the perfection of the senses is to engage in the service of the Lord. The sense of sight, when engaged in seeing the beauty of the Lord, is perfected. The power to hear, when engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, is perfected. The power to taste, when one enjoys by eating prasad, is perfected. When all the senses engage in relationship with the personality of Godhead, one's perfection is technically called bhakti yoga, which entails detaching the senses from material indulgence and attaching them to the service of the Lord. When one is freed from all designated conditional life and fully engages in the service of the Lord, one's service is called bhakti yoga. Kardama Muni admits that seeing the Lord personally in bhakti yoga is the perfection of sight. The exalted position of seeing the Lord is not exaggerated by Kardama Muni. He gives evidence that those who are actually elevated in yoga aspire in life after life to see this form of the personality of Godhead. He was not a fictitious yogi. Those who are actually on the advanced path aspire only to see the eternal form of the Lord. Today, we are reading from Canto 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 21, entitled Conversations Between Manu and Kardama, Text Number 13. Lord Brahma previously instructed Kardama Muni to perform tapasya in worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Taking that order upon his head, Kardama Muni entered into the forest and worshiped the Lord. Through the process of meditation, continuously for 10,000 years. Srila Prabhupada writes that this was the process of worshiping the Lord in the Satya Yuga. Valmiki Muni, on the order of his guru, Sri Narada, he performed such meditation in the forest for 60,000 years, trying to fix their consciousness on the form of the Lord. And the purpose of such meditation was simply to please Krishna. Because if Krishna is not pleased, there is no yogic process that could force Krishna to reveal himself. Krishna is abhijna and swarat. He is independent. The devatas, they are not independent. Demigods, if you perform the proper yogic process, sacrifice, they must come before you. They must fulfill your desires. Thus we find even demons. Demons who are asking for benedictions that are disgusting, that are unpalatable to the demigods, but they must give them. Lord Shiva, in his own very unique and particular tattva, is an expansion of Vishnu. But in this world, he accepts the role of a demigod. And we see demons like Brikasura. He was in the mode of ignorance. Nothing he was doing was actually pleasing to Lord Shiva's heart. But he was fulfilling his end of the contract by performing his yajna, his austerities. And thus Lord Shankar was obliged in the role of a demigod to give him his benediction, that anyone whose head he would touch would crack into thousands of pieces. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, Lord Shiva, greatest Vaishnav. Do you think he wants to give anyone this benediction? Especially when Brikasura was going to immediately use that power against him. That is the nature of demigod worship. It is very selfish. It's not in a spirit of eternal service or love. It is in a mood of exploitation. Similarly, Lord Brahma, he gave such benedictions to Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and others. Not that they want, but in the role of demigod, they are obliged. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, does not take the role of a demigod. Even when he appears within this creation as Kshirotai Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the Paramatma in the heart, living in Svetadvip, and also overruling or presiding over the mode of goodness, he is always independent. In fact, you can perform severe austerities and ask Vishnu to fulfill your desire. The demigods have to give. Vishnu may give. If it's not good for you, he may give it just to teach you a good lesson, or he may take everything away instead. That is his free will. Kardama Muni, under the direction of his guru, Lord Brahma, was worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead with devotion. What does devotion mean? Bhakti means to please Krishna. Sam siddhir haritoshanam. Atapum bird vijastreshtas varanashrama vibhagasha svanushtatasya dharmasya sam siddhir haritoshanam. Whether we are Brahmin sages like Kardama in the forest performing tapasya, or whether we are military rulers like Svayambhuva Manu, or like Yudhisthira, Arjuna, or whether we are in the mercantile community, or the labor community, or whatever our situation may be, the only purpose of life is to give pleasure to Krishna. That is bhakti. So Kardama Muni was a bhakti yogi. And according to the Yuga Dharma of that time, he was trying to please the Lord by fixing his consciousness exclusively in meditation. 10,000 years. That's how long this process takes to purify the heart to see the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains in a previous purport that in the age of Kali, it's rare for a person to live 60 or 70, what to speak of 80 years old, with so many distractions. People's bodies are so weak in constitution. Who could live in the forest? Obviously, if Kardama Muni was fixed in meditation for 10,000 years, he didn't have much time to eat or to sleep. That was the power that people had in Satya Yuga. Therefore, what could be achieved through tens and thousands of years of strict meditation and seclusion in the forest can be achieved in the age of Kali simply by chanting the holy names. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has proclaimed that it is the prime benediction for humanity at large, this Harinam Sankirtan movement. Harinama Harinam Harinam Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatir Anyata. There is no other possibility of achieving that perfection of love of God, the vision of God in this age of Kali, except the chanting of God's names. Why? Because it is the Lord's will. If the Lord were to tell us that he is pleased by our standing on our head, then we could see Krishna doing that. But he is pleased when we chant his holy name with devotion. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, of the 9 processes of devotional service, which is most important? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately responded, the chanting of the holy names. And when the denizens of Kulinagram ask on several occasions Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how can we, fallen grihastas, householders involved in so many domestic responsibilities, endless distractions, how can we achieve love for Krishna? 3 times they asked him in 3 different years, and he always gave them the same answer. Constantly chant the holy names of Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas. Because that is what pleases Krishna. Kardama Muni, he absorbed himself so deeply in Krishna, Krishna was pleased. And we find in today's verse that Krishna is personally standing before Kardama Muni. He has manifested himself. And Kardama, he is praying that the power of my sight is now fulfilled because the greatest of all perfection is the sight of you. You are the reservoir of all existences. Through many successive births of deep meditation, advanced yogis aspire to see your transcendental form. Kardama Muni is declaring, who is an advanced yogi? One who aspires to see the transcendental form of the Lord. By Kardama Muni's calculation, and he is a perfect yogi, he is not impressed by those who are meditating to find some peace in mind in a world of conflict and commotion. Such shanti, shanti, shanti is not the concern of an advanced devotee like Kardama. Nor is he impressed by those yogis who, by the power of their perfections, we may say, they attain siddhis. They could perform yogic feats that appear miraculous to the common people. Anima, Mahima, Lagima, Prapti. These mystic siddhis of producing things, producing articles with one's own hand, whether it be ashes or gold or diamonds. Kardama Muni knew all this stuff. When he wanted to use his mystic cities in the service of the Lord, just by chanting a mantra, he created an aerial mansion more beautiful than the abode of Indra, with palaces not made of mortar and brick, but precious jewels and stones and lakes and maidservants and auspicious trees. And it could float in the air and go from one planet to another. And you didn't even need a safety belt or air traffic control. Just by his will, he could chant a mantra and it could go to any planet he so desired. Huh. This was his, but he was not impressed by someone who can just produce some ash or some gold or some, read a person's mind, even creating a planet. This is not an advanced yogi. According to to the calculation of Kardama Muni, an advanced yogi is not one who even achieves mukti, liberation from all the sufferings of this world, entering into the non-dual existence of Brahman. He does not consider that an advanced yogi. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma koteshvapi mahamune. Out of many people who attain mystic perfections, out of many people who attain mukti, it is very difficult to find an advanced yogi, one who has actually developed love and devotion to Lord Narayan. That person alone has attained his or her constitutional position. That person alone can achieve eternal happiness and peace. So what is an advanced yogi? One who aspires to see the eternal form of the Lord. It doesn't say here that an advanced yogi sees the form of the Lord. An advanced yogi is one who aspires to see the form of the Lord. That is why Srila Prabhupada explained that even a devotee who has not attained the perfection of prema bhakti, a devotee who comes to the Krishna consciousness movement and genuinely, honestly, and sincerely makes serving and seeing the form of the Lord his or her goal of life, that is an advanced yogi. That person is more dear to the Lord than even the miracle workers, even those who heal the sick, even those who are so detached from the body that you could put hooks and spears in them and they'll just sit in their meditation without moving. We have seen. Even those who give up eating and sleeping, strict celibacy for years and years. One who aspires to see the form of the Lord is an advanced yogi. Because one who has that aspiration and follows the proper principles under proper guidance. Man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyajim nanamaskuru mam evaishashi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. This most effulgent verse from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains why such a person is so advanced. Always think of me, worship me, become my devotee, offer your homage to me, and I will reveal myself to you. You will attain me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my dear friend. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyakva deham punarajanma naiti mameti sorajana. One who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna, his appearance and activities, never takes birth again in this material world. Such a devotee attains my abode. This is Krishna's word. So simply we must sincerely follow the process of bhakti yoga. Honestly and sincerely. And Krishna, who is Swarat, who is supremely independent, reveals himself to us because he is pleased. Gopi Bhartur Patakamalayora Dasa Dasa Dasanu Das. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he has taken this principle that we are reading today and given it such a deep purport. And Prabhupada quoted it often. What is the greatest way of pleasing Krishna? He said, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he is pleased to see you. That is the perfection of life. Ultimately, Krishna was simply so pleased with Kardama Muni's sincerity, with his service, that Krishna revealed himself to Kardama Muni. And what pleases Krishna the most? In the Adi Purana, he has explained to Arjuna, Madbhakta Pujabhyadika. Better than worshipping me is worshipping my devotee. Because my devotee has given his heart to me, therefore I have given my heart to my devotee. If you please my devotee, I am your property. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what was his aspiration? Naham vipronacha narapatira napi paisho na shudra. I'm not a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. Not a Brahmachari, or Grihastha, or Banaprast, or Sannyas. These are all temporary technicalities. They are important. As long as we are performing our particular duties according to our varna or ashram with the spirit of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, if we have that service attitude and we sincerely chant the holy names, then it is assured Krishna will be pleased. Today is the beginning of the most holy of all months, Kartik. This month is presided over by Srimati Radharani, who is the supreme treasure house of all bhakti or devotion. All love emanates from her. And therefore, Rupa Goswami and our acharyas have recommended that during this month of Kartik, we should make special efforts to appeal for the mercy of Guru, of the great acharyas, and ultimately Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. During the month of Kartik, whatever devotional service we perform with sincerity, with the aspiration to absorb ourselves in Krishna's leelas, Krishna's philosophy, Krishna's beautiful form, and Krishna's service and name, then we gain heaps and heaps of blessings. The Lord is so kind. He makes special arrangements to give us the opportunity to access deeper degrees of mercy. That is what the month of Kartik is about. It is the month of devotion. And devotees should really try to absorb themselves in hearing, chanting, and rendering their particular services without offense. During this month of Kartik, so many wonderful festivals take place. So many wonderful pastimes of the Lord. We do not have much time, but I would like to speak some things. Today, the first day of Kartik Mas,
ये शरद पूर्णिमा It is on this evening when the full moon was rising over the horizon of Sri Braj's forest, Krishna was inspired to stand under the tree Bamsi Bat on the bank of the holy river Yamuna to play his flute. The sound of his flute filled the atmosphere, entered into the hearts of gopis through their ears, and stole all the treasures of their life, stole their consciousness. Krishna was calling for them. Krishna's Ras Bihari. He is the supreme enjoyer of loving affairs. On this evening, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the greatest of all renunciates, the gopis of Vrindavan exhibited the supreme manifestation of renunciation. In Gaudiya Sampradaya, the ultimate object of worship for sannyasis is the gopis' love for Krishna. Very difficult what they had done. They left their children, those who had children. Those who were married left their husbands, left their fathers and mothers, left the security of their homes. And because they were leaving in such a controversial way, it was, according to their social customs of the time, it was impossible for them to ever return home. They were leaving the security and comforts of their homes, their families, their children, all of their duties, to go into the forest in the night with the possibility that they would never be allowed to find another husband, never allowed to return home. What would they do? They couldn't just get a job and be a independent, self-sufficient working woman. No, they didn't know any of those things. They were renouncing everything. Why? To go to the forest. Because Krishna was calling them. They were not going for their own purposes. They had no desire for sense gratification, no desire to satisfy their own hearts. They were only going to satisfy Krishna. And when they were running through the forest, each one individually. And then Krishna told them, I'm very happy you have come. You have seen the beauty of Vrindavan forest, and you have satisfied me. Now you go home. After all that, they were being rejected. This is Krishna. Only to increase their desire to serve him and please him. And yes, on this night, Sarat Purnima, Krishna performed this beautiful dance with the Braj Gopis. And by his inconceivable powers, this one night extended the time of one night of Lord Brahma. And then by Krishna's arrangement, he sent them home And they were very much welcomed by their family members. But they were willing to take the risk for Krishna. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, there is no love and devotion that is equal to the gopis of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And Shukadeva Goswami, the topmost of ascetics. We have already read in pages of Srimad Bhagavatam how Shukadeva Goswami remained within the womb of his mother for 12 years because he just had no interest in seeing the dualities of this world. And when finally he was attracted by Krishna to come out, he just walked. He did not see any duality. He didn't even know the difference between a male and female. He was just seeing the eternal soul in everyone's heart. That is Shukadeva Goswami. He studied under his father and became the greatest, greatest realized soul. That when Parikshit Maharaj was sitting on bank of Ganga, the greatest rishis in the universe were assembled. Vishwamitra Muni, Vashishta Muni, Gautama Rishi, Bhardraj Muni, Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, they were all there. Parvat Muni. Shukadeva Goswami is only 16 years old. Vashishta Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, Gautam Rishi, we read about them from Ramayana, from Puranas, from millions of years ago. These were very senior people with great historical, records. But they all unanimously accepted the most qualified person to speak was Shukadeva Goswami. Because of the purity and the innocence of his heart and his total detachment from this world. And Shukadeva Goswami is extolling the supreme glories of the perfect and pure love of the gopis for Ras Bihariji. Today is also the disappearance day of Murari Gupta, Hanumanji, in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. One of the greatest, greatest of Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu claimed about Murari Gupta, although he appears to be an ordinary householder with wife, and he has his occupation as an Ayurvedic doctor, he said, anyone who considers him to be an ordinary man will be condemned, although he presents himself in that way. He is such a doctor that anyone who comes before him, he will cure that person's disease, both of the body and the soul. We call him Murari Gupta, Lord Chaitanya said, because Murari, Krishna, is Gupta, hidden secretly within his heart, always. Also within the month of Kartik, is appearance day of Birachandra, the son of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Vasudha, and the prominent disciple of Janava Devi, Nityananda Prabhu's consort. According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Birachandra is the avatar of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. He was a supremely compassionate Vaishnava. There's a beautiful story in Bhakti Ratnakar where he went to Kethari Gram to visit Narottam Das Thakur, and there was a festival there. And when Birachandra Prabhu was dancing, all the Vaishnavas were struck with wonder. It was a dance of such love, such mercy he had. There was one blind man in that audience. He was hearing everybody glorifying the dance of Birabhadra. And he was praying, if only I could see, silently. But Birachandra, who is seated within everyone's heart as the Paramatma, allowed his eyes to open, and the first and only thing he ever saw in his life was Birachandra dancing. Immediately, ecstatic, eternal prema, love of God, awakened in his heart, and he did not have to see anything else forever. Birachandra was a powerful preacher who traveled and established the pure doctrine of Gaudiya Vaishnavism throughout the Bengal province. Also during this month is the appearance day of Sri Radha Kund on the day of Bahulastami. It was on this day that Krishna, he delivered Aristasura, that powerful asura who appeared in the form of a bull. Now we have all seen big bulls, but he was like a mountain. The hump on his back, there were clouds hovering around it. And his tail, when he was running into Brajbhumi, it was scattering clouds. And his massive, powerful hooves were causing earthquakes, miscarriages in pregnant women. Everyone was terrified. It was a mountain of a bull, and his eyes were red with rage. And practically hurricane-like hot air was just coming out of his nostrils. With his head down and these massive pointed horns like thunderbolts aimed right toward Krishna. But Krishna grabbed him by the horns and flipped him over and threw him. Harivo. And that made Aristasura more angry. So he charged at Krishna again to destroy him. And Krishna again grabbed him by horns, flipped him over, and with those little lotus feet that Mother Yashoda would be always in anxiety. The Krishna's in the pasture grounds throughout the day, and his feet are so soft, so tender. Just the touch of them and they turn pink. Little harder touch, they turn red. What if Krishna steps on a stone? What if Gopal steps on a thorn? The gopis were thinking, Krishna's feet are so soft, even the softest part of our bodies may hurt him because they are so hard in comparison. But Krishna, with that little soft lotus feet that appears in this way to the devotees, kicked Aristasura. And he passed stool and urine and vomit, blood and died. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. So gopis, Sri Radharani, you have killed a bull. You are supposed to be Gopal, the protector of cows and bulls. You have killed. But he was a demon. That's a technicality. Still you killed. Still he was a bull. That is the fact. So we cannot be touched by a person who has killed a bull. We will be contaminated. You must bathe in all the holy places throughout the universe. So Krishna, very happy, he just stuck the heel of his foot in the ground in the same area where Aristasura's hoof prints were. And he called for all the holy places. They all appeared and filled up Shamkund. And then for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani, they filled her kund, Radha Kund. at midnight on the day of, at the time of Baholastami, the appearance day of Radha Kund. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he recited that wonderful verse that Radha Kund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani, because it is so very dear to her. And anyone who bathes in Radha Kund is bathing in the love of Sri Radharani and will in due course of time attain the perfection of life. So the advent of Sri Radha Kund is part of the month of Kartik. And soon after that, we have the appearance day of Narottam Das Thakur, one of the greatest acharyas. According to the Vaishnav histories, Bhakti Ratnakar, Narottam Das Thakur, born a prince, the only son of a wealthy landowner who was like the king of his area. As a small boy, he was so deeply attached to hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and his associates that he lost all interest in any material aspirations. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had entrusted within the river Padmavati his own love of God to be given to Narottam. When the Lord was near Kanai Natashala and Ramkeli, he faced in the direction of Kethari Gram and was screaming out, "Narottam, Narottam, Narottam," in ecstasy. At first, the devotees could not understand. But then they came to the conclusion that a great devotee named Narottam will be born there. And Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya confirmed that. His dark complexion became golden like Lord Chaitanya's when he bathed in the Padmavati. And the same ecstasies of love and separation manifested in him. Narottam Das Thakur ran away from home to Vrindavan, where he received initiation from Lokanath Goswami and became one of the favorite pupils of Jiva Goswami, along with Srinivasacharya and Shyamananda Prabhu. And by Jiva Goswami's instruction, he traveled back to Bengal and made tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands, millions of people devotees. He transformed the hearts of kings and dacoits and Brahmins. Although he was Kayasta, he was of a lower caste, considered by the Brahmins of the time to be a Shudra. But the greatest of all Brahmin scholars, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, surrendered to him and became his disciple. And the beautiful songs that Narottam Das Thakur has sung, are the life and soul of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He appeared in the month of Kartik. And there is Deepavali, the day that Sri Ramchandra, after 14 years of exile, after the world war of Sri Lanka, where he delivered Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and the whole Rakshasa dynasty. Lord Sri Ramchandra, on the day of Diwali, returns to Ayodhya to be coronated as the king. And on this day, Yashoda Mai
She wanted to make special preparation of butter for Krishna. She rose up very early in the morning of Diwali in the month of Kartik to churn the butter, actually churn the yogurt. And this was not ordinary yogurt. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. And of them, there were only 8 cows called Padmaganda. These Padmaganda cows used to eat very special fragrant grasses that Yashoda Mai would personally grow for them. And these cows, their milk was fragrant like the sweetest lotus flowers. It was only from those cows that Yashoda Mai personally took care of that she would feed Krishna. And on this morning, she sent her maidservants and assistants to perform other duties. And there was an Indra Puja coming up soon also. So she was churning the butter with her own hands, and the bangles on her wrists were making beautiful music, like kartals, as she was singing the beautiful pastimes of her baby Krishna. And as she was remembering Krishna churning the yogurt, milk was flowing from her breast in motherly love. And Krishna always responds to the love of his devotees. Even though he was laying in bed in another room, the milk that was flowing from Yashoda Mai's breast awakened Krishna's appetite. He was hungry for the love of his mother. He came to that place where she was churning. He pulled at her sari. And then, in a very authoritative way, he held the churning rod. That stop all this churning. I have come. Your only business is to feed me the milk from your breast. He didn't say anything, but it was obvious. And then he climbed up and Yashoda Mai's heart melted in Vatsalya Ras. And she fed him her own milk, which was the nectar of her love. But then she heard, milk was boiling over on the stove. This was not ordinary milk. This was Padmaganda milk, very sacred. And it was a preparation being made for Gopal. So immediately she put Krishna down and ran to stop the milk from boiling over. It was her love for Krishna. That is all. But Krishna wanted to perform a leela to deliver the whole universe. So he took the opportunity of becoming very angry. How could she do this? He bit his teeth over his lip, representing that you must control anger, represented by red, with the mode of goodness, represented by white. And he picked up a stone that was used for grinding spices, and broke the grinding mortar. I mean, the pot where the yogurt was, it spilled. And stepping in it and slipping in it, he went into another room. And in the other room, he saw hanging from the rafters the yogurt from another and butter from another day. So he climbed up and broke that and took it, and Yashoda Mai, after saving the milk, she came back and she saw the pot is broken. The yogurt is on the floor. Where is Gopal? He must have done this. So she was like the original detective. She saw the yogurt footprints on the floor. Little tiny footprints with all the markings of Krishna. So she followed those footprints, followed. And she came to the veranda where Krishna had turned over a grinding mortar and was sitting on the top of it and was not only full, but his face had yogurt on it and butter, and he was feeding it to monkeys. Food for life. He was distributing it to the monkeys. And the monkeys were very happy. What an exalted position to be a monkey in Vrindavan, getting hand-fed by Krishna with Padmaganda butter. Wonderful, wonderful. This Padmaganda butter was so sweet, so delicious. Mother Yashoda made it in a special way, just hoping that Krishna would be so satisfied with it, he would not run to other gopis' houses to steal their butter. And he was distributing that to monkeys. Yashoda Mai saw him on the grounding mortar. He was looking. As he was distributing, his eyes were very fearful, looking all directions to see if his mother would come. She picked up a stick and very slowly approached him. The monkey saw her and started jumping out the windows and running through the doors, and Krishna looked and saw his mother right behind, and he ran. With his little legs, he was running, 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 and Yashoda Mai was running. How she was running. She was trying so hard that the flowers on her hair was falling down. The acharyas explain, some of the flowers were thinking that she's going to capture Krishna and punish Krishna. She has stick. We don't want to be a part of this conspiracy. So they jumped off her hair. And others were thinking her love for Krishna is so deep, so deep. We want to help her catch Krishna. So we don't want to be an extra weight on her. So they jumped off and fell to the floor. And she ran and Krishna ran. Even the greatest yogis, thousands of births of meditation and tapasya and fasting, they cannot reach Krishna. But Krishna allowed himself to be caught by the love of his mother. And she raised the stick. Krishna, his heart was beating very fast, as our dear Devaki Nandan Prabhu was just reading this morning, the prayers of Satyavrat Muni. His heart was beating quickly, and his limbs were trembling, and his lips were trembling, and his eyes were so fearful. Tears were coming out of his eyes, mixing with the black mascara that Yashoda Mai had put, making black streaks, beautiful black streaks on his body. And he was pleading to Yashoda Mai, pleading, please, put down that stick. I did it. It's like if you go to the court, if you plead guilty, then you could beg for mercy. But if you plead not guilty, then you'll get no mercy if you're convicted. He was pleading guilty. I did it, Mother. But please put down that stick. I promise I will never, ever do this again. Please, Mother. Yashoda Mai scolded him. Oh, you friend of the monkeys? By association with monkeys, you have become monkey? Why you are doing this? But she had to cook breakfast for Krishna. Seeing that Krishna was very afraid of the stick, she threw away the stick. Because ultimately she only wanted Krishna's welfare. And to protect him from further mischief, she decided to bind him with a rope. To the same grinding mortar that he used for the purpose of his crime of stealing the yogurt and breaking the pots. So she took rope, and when she wrapped it around little Krishna's waist, it was two fingers too short. She took more rope, and more rope, and more rope, and was tying each rope to the previous rope. And there was long strands of rope. But every time she put it around Krishna's waist, it was two fingers too short. And more rope. And soon other gopis heard about what was happening. And they all came from all around Gokul, Mahavan, with rope, rope, rope. They were bringing ropes from their house and giving it to Yashoda. She was tying it. Two fingers too short. It was a festival of ropes. They were astounded. Some of the gopis were saying, Yashoda, give it up. You can't do it. Can't you see that Krishna has some power, that he can't be bound? We're putting so much rope and still it's exactly two fingers too short. But in her motherly love, she was so attached to protecting Krishna that she just couldn't see this Aishwarya, this super excellence of Krishna. It is my duty. I must protect my son. No matter how much it takes, I'm going to bind him. She was determined in her motherly love to serve her son. And she was perspiring, and whatever flowers were still on her hair were falling down, and her sari was becoming loosened, a beautiful yellow sari. And Krishna, just to show the world that he is eternally conquered by the love of his mother, by the love of his devotee, he allowed himself to be bound around the waist by Yashoda Mai. Yasha means fame. Yashoda Mai means one who gives fame. And in this pastime, she gave eternal fame to Krishna as Damodar, one who is bound by the waist with the rope of the love of his pure devotee. Sri Sri Radha Damodar Ki
Jai.
But then he did more mischief, but that is another story. Also in the month of Kartik is Govardhan Puja. We're not going to tell that story. Nanda Maharaj was performing his puja to Indra as his ancestors, forefathers had been doing since time immemorial, because Indra brings rain. And the cowherd community, they require agriculture, they require crops to grow. There can be no milk without grass. So Krishna, why are you making such elaborate arrangements? It is for Indra. We need his rain for our survival. Krishna convinced Nanda Maharaj, forget about this. According to one's karma, it's going to rain anyway, with or without Indra. Worship the Brahmins, the cows, and Govardhan Hill. So for the pleasure of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj took a big risk and worshiped Govardhan Hill. Wonderful Anukut. So many preparations. Krishna explained exactly how it was to be done. Mountains and mountains and mountains of bhoga. Best bhoga. And Sri Giriraj, Krishna manifested himself as Govardhan Hill, just to show that Govardhan Hill is none different than Krishna. And with long arms, he ate all the offerings instantly and then manifested them again as Mahaprasad. And then Krishna led with the cowherd boys, and Nanda and Yashoda and the gopis. They all did parikrama of Govardhan. And Indra was very upset. Everyone was happy except him. He sent the Samvataka clouds with torrential rains to destroy all of Braj. But when the devotees approached Krishna with devotion, helplessly, he smiled and he lifted Govardhan Hill as a little child will lift a mushroom, and held it for 7 days and seven nights with the little finger of his left hand. And Indra was trying so hard with those Samvataka clouds, the clouds of universal destruction. They were just pounding thunderbolts and massive. It wasn't just rain.
drops. There were no drops. It was coming down like pillars. Massive force, massive winds. And not a drop came under the mountain. Not a drop. All the Brijabasis were happier than ever. 7 days and seven nights continuously seeing the beauty of Gopal in his form of Giridhari, casting his loving glances and reciprocating with each and every devotee perfectly. Indra was so outraged. He had the Samvartaka clouds, and he himself, with all his powers, trying to blow that mountain off Krishna's finger. But after 7 days and seven nights of continuous storm, Indra noticed that of the millions of trees on Govardhan Hill, not a single leaf was separated from a single tree. He did not have the power to uproot a single blade of grass. Govardhan Hill was absolutely as it is. Why? Because it was being touched by the tip of Krishna's finger. It was so ecstatic, it became transcendentally empowered. He became Haridas Bharya. So Indra, along with Surabhi, came, and Surabhi appealed on Indra's behalf. Please forgive him. And then Indra surrendered. And at Govindakund, Indra performed Abhishek for Krishna to make him the Indra, the supreme controller of all controllers, to proclaim and accept him. And all the demigods, Brahma, Shiva, they did wonderful Abhishekam on the day Govardhan Puja. And soon after that is the appearance or disappearance of Srinivasacharya, another one of the great, great, great Vaishnav saints of our line. And there is also the day of Gopastami. When Krishna was a very small boy, he was taking care of calves. But on the day of Gopastami, Krishna is officially given care of the cows of Vrindavan. And for the Brijabasis in Vrindavan, this is a very big festival, especially at Nandagaon. The whole day, thousands and thousands of Brijabasis come for this festival, where they go to Ter Kadamba and other holy places where Krishna went on that day, the first day of his herding the cows. Yashoda Mai, when Krishna was taking care of calves, they were very small, but cows very big. They're all Surabhi cows. Unlimited milk they could give. So she brought Krishna a pair of shoes in case the cows may step on him, or in case he steps on some thorn. She personally, with her hands, made a nice pair of shoes for Krishna. But Krishna told that, I don't want anything my cows do not have. If you want me to wear shoes, you must make shoes for all the 900,000 cows and the herd that I take care of. So he was always barefoot. But his footprints were the ornament of all of Braj. All the animals, all the people, all the gopas and gopis, they followed a particular etiquette, never ever to cover a footprint of Gopal, the ornament of all the earth. Gopastami, very holy day. And during Kartik is also the disappearance day of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, I believe. Yes. So I am just touching some of the glories of this month of Kartik. So much opportunity to
surrender our lives to the lotus feet of Krishna. And one of the most glorious historical episodes of the month of Kartik, and I will end here, in 1972, Srila Prabhupada called devotees from all parts of the world for the month of Kartik to come to Vrindavan. For most devotees, it was the first time they had ever been to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada personally gave a lecture series on the nectar of devotion. Just beside the Samadhi Mandir and Bhajan Kutir of Srila Rupa Goswami. What a glorious story of success, victory. Srila Prabhupada lived at Radha Damodar Temple for approximately 6 years. That is where he wrote his translations and purports to the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was there especially to prepare to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj, to take the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language all over the world. He was 69 years old. And he was immersed, absorbed, day and night, in making preparations to take the message of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world. How to do it? He was practically like a beggar. He had no funds, he had no money, he had no help, nothing. Even his own godbrothers, they considered that it was an impossible proposition and nobody wanted to involve themselves in any way, shape, or form of assisting him. To go to the West at this age? No one has dared to do this since the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his disappearance. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent some of his very topmost sannyasi preachers to London and Germany, but called them back because they had very menial success. And since that time, nobody dared. It was impossible. With Prabhupada all alone, he would look out his window as he would be cooking prasad and taking prasad at Rupa Goswami's samadhi, in his prayer to Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami to help him to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj. And he left there in 1965. And about 7 years later, in 1972, devotees from America, from Europe, from so many places were assembled in the courtyard of Radha Damodar Temple, Prabhupada's home, to hear Prabhupada speak in the month of Kartik on the subject of the nectar of devotion. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And within ISKCON, Kartik is also the threshold for the book distribution marathon. Through this story, we understand Prabhupada's inconceivable dedication to giving the world his books. When Srila Prabhupada was at Sri Radha Kund with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his Guru Maharaj was explaining to him that there was fire in the mat. There was quarrel over prestige issues. Who would get more respect? Who would get a more prominent room within their Bagh Bazar temple? There was infighting amongst the devotees, even in the presence of their Guru Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, better
Better if we take the marble off the walls and use that money to print books. And then Guru Maharaj Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at Srila Prabhupada and said, if you ever get money, print books, distribute books. Prabhupada took that message as his life and soul. And through the history, through the whole history of ISKCON, in the daytime, Prabhupada was preaching, giving lectures, meeting important people, guiding his devotees, directing his society, writing thousands and thousands of letters. But at night, when everyone was sleeping, Prabhupada would rise around midnight and spend hours and hours in the solitude of deeply pondering the commentaries of all the great previous acharyas and writing his Bhaktivedanta purports. Prabhupada said, these books are my devotional ecstasies. Srila Prabhupada would have his devotees reading Krishna book to him. And Prabhupada would say, people may think, why is this author so eager to hear his own books read to him? Prabhupada said, I have not written these books. I was just the instrument. This book, Krishna, is written by Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada always saw himself an instrument. On the Jaladutta, he prayed, Krishna, make me your puppet. Make me dance as you want me to dance. I am your puppet. Make me dance. Unless you give me the words, how will I ever transform the hearts and make your message understandable to these people? Prabhupada was begging. And it was in that spirit that Krishna and all the previous acharyas manifested through the heart of Prabhupada's love. And that is what his books are. And Srila Prabhupada wanted his books so much distributed profusely throughout the entire world. Prabhupada said, those who distribute my books, even though it's so difficult, I take the dust of their feet on my head. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was distributing Prabhupada's books in the communist countries of Eastern Europe. Prabhupada embraced him with tears in his eyes, rubbed his head and said, your life is successful. This is parampara. My Guru Maharaj pushed me, and now I am pushing you, and you are pushing others. This is parampara. It was all based around book distribution. So during this book marathon, all of us, according to our capacity, whether we're men, women, or children, whether we're brahmacharis, sannyasis, vanaprastas, or sannyasis, whatever our ashram, whatever our varna, whatever our particular placement in society, there's no greater way of serving Krishna than pleasing his devotees. And what more merciful devotee, what more dear devotee is there than Srila Prabhupada? On many occasions, Prabhupada said that if you want to please me, distribute my books. So there should be a great united effort. Competition is wonderful if it inspires others to work harder for this divine mission. If you want to please me, distribute my books. So what will please Prabhupada more than if we really all, whoever we are, do our part. Participate in some way, directly or indirectly, in facilitating tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of Prabhupada's books to be distributed. It is a wonderful service
that will attract abundant mercy. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Ras Bihari Dev ki jai. Go Premanandi.